Friends, this morning our message is going to be about the morning of Christ's resurrection. Our Bibles are filled with accounts of mornings, early mornings, the statements about people doing certain things in the mornings. We are told that our Savior prayed early in the morning. We read in the Old Testament of many morning accounts. Joshua is pictured as a man who rose up early in the morning. Think of the morning in Genesis 22 when Abraham rose up early and took Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. And think about what a morning that was for Jacob when he awakened from his sleep, the scripture says, in the morning, and he set up the pillar of stones in honor of God at Bethel. It must have been a glorious morning when Daniel was in that den of the lions and the sunshine began to shine forth. The dawn came and he was still alive. The Lord had shut the lions' mouths. And you think about the so many other morning accounts that happened. Terrible things happened in the morning too. Or at very late at night, there was the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Very late or early parts of the morning the next day. Yes, all of these things, great things happened in the morning and much more. However, none of them can compare to the morning that is discussed in this passage before us. And so I would like to spend some time this morning looking at this great morning when our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave forever. There has never been a morning like that before. What a morning that was when Jesus Christ rose. And do you know why we meet together on the Lord's days, on the first day of the week? It was because of that. What took place then? That's why Christians gather together. The day of the Pentecost was on the first day of the week, when the Spirit of God was poured forth. And there was prophecies made that the children of Israel would be giving sacrifices to God on the eighth day, not on the seventh day. Well, what is the eighth day? The day after the seventh. And they would be giving sacrifices of praise to their Messiah, the scriptures of Old Testament teach. Now, here we are, friends. So what we are doing, it is not by tradition. It is because of the scriptures and the practice of the believers throughout the ages to glorify Jesus Christ, to lift him up, to hear his word. And now there are a number of things that I want us to consider in the time that we have about that morning. That morning, the announcement was made, he is alive. He is alive. And that's why you are here this morning. If Jesus Christ was still in his tomb, none of us would be present here. We would be most miserable, the scripture says. There are a number of things I want to say. First of all, the resurrection morning makes us to think seriously. It ought to make us think seriously. And secondly, this resurrection morning shows to us things about Christ and his gospel. We will think about that. And thirdly, the resurrection morning makes us realize some important things about ourselves. And finally, the resurrection morning has some spiritual significance for us. Think on these things, friends. First, the resurrection morning makes us think seriously. It was a sober morning. As the morning began to dawn on the first day of the week after the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross and he was buried, the tomb was sealed. How were they going to get in? The soldiers were there. It was already sealed, as it were, locked up. How could they get in? But they went still to embalm his body, anoint his body for his burial. And while these women were heading to the tomb, our Lord's disciples were locked up inside the upper room, trembling in fear. It was a very solemn morning. It was a fearful morning. They were filled with fear, and that because they had thought that this man who has died, this Jesus of Nazareth who had died, they had been waiting. They had hoped that he would be the Messiah of Israel, the Redeemer of Israel. But now he's gone. He's dead. And so they are filled with fear. Certainly these women were sad and grieving. The disciples were scared. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ had said that when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep would be scattered. And that was it. Why were they so upset? They had all believed Jesus to be the Redeemer of Israel. They had placed their faith in him, and they had expected that he would set up his kingdom, throwing off the Roman yoke of the bondage that Israel was under. And even though he had told them of his cross, he had told them of his crucifixion, his death, and also he had told them of his resurrection, that he would rise again on the third day, yet it seems that they had not been listening. You may be a Christian this morning, and you find yourself hard of hearing. You find yourself stumbling oftentimes, and you find yourself being so slow. And you kick yourself, and you say, how foolish I am. Why do I do these things? When I know, I have heard it, I've read it. Well, my friends, the Lord is full of compassion, even towards us. These people that you think they were super Christians, they needed the Lord's grace in their lives. And so how much more do we? And praise God, God's grace is sufficient for us. But that morning, their heart was failing them. That morning, this man who had radically changed their life, yet he was gone. What would they do? And as we reflect of their sadness, friends, the sadness of the disciples, we can understand their grief, can't we? Even the Apostle Paul, he spoke of this, that if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise, we would be most miserable. We would be full of grief. We would have no hope at all. If Jesus is dead, then what is the point of coming here? What is the point of life? What is the point of existing? Because there is no other way to God if Jesus Christ is dead. But praise God, he's alive. And that gives sinners like us purpose, hope, reason for living. Because I can come to know him. I can believe on him. I can live for him. And he has compassion on me. He knows me. Are you miserable this morning? Boys, girls, children, adults, are you miserable this morning? I would say to you, if you are miserable, sometimes Christians can be very grumpy and miserable. I say, you look to Jesus Christ. You look to him. You trust in him. You renew your thoughts of who he is. And what is he doing now for us? He's sovereign king of all things. And he's working out not your purposes, his purposes. For his own glory. And you're part of that plan. You are his workmanship if you are a child of God. His purpose. But that morning, it was a solemn morning. And my friends, I tell you this. The joys of this world will pass away. Boys and girls, you might have your birthdays, like Herod did. You might have your dances, your drinking, your all sorts of things, your partying. And your holidays and anything that the people of this world take pleasure in. And in many of those things, there may be no sin. But those things will pass away. It will not last forever. And yet, at the end, you will be left miserable if you don't have Christ. You will have no purpose in your life if you have no Christ. What is the point? You might say. Well, that morning, to the disciples, it seemed to be hopeless. Secondly, what we find is this, that Lord's Day morning, the first Lord's Day that first day of the week, it was a day about Christ and about His gospel. And that's something that we need to think about. It shows to us Christ and the gospel. Christ was revealed on that first day of the week. So in the midst of all the sadness of that morning, God took great pains to minister to the needs of these disciples' hearts. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father cares when we hurt? He was moved with compassion many times in His life. And His Father too, moved with compassion towards us in sending forth His only begotten Son. He didn't have many sons, but just one. And He was not just one son, but He was His only begotten Son. And that is such an important thing to think about. And we won't have time to explain what all of that, the term only begotten means. But the Lord gave everything. The Father gave everything for us because He had compassion on us. He moved in such powerful ways to encourage the hearts of these saddened disciples. Just think about a number of things that the Lord did to encourage them. And the Lord does the same today. For example, He rolled away the stone. That was encouraging. Imagine if they came and it was all shut and they couldn't do anything about it. They would be even more sad and more discouraged. How could they get in? How could they reach Him? How could they embalm Him? But the stone was rolled away. Not to let Jesus Christ escape, but to allow man to go in and to see for himself, to look in. And Peter did that. And John did that. But also he sent an angel messenger with the good news that Jesus Christ was alive from the dead. He was not there, but He had risen indeed, he says. Never had the world heard such a message before. And still it reverberates throughout the corridors of time and even to the end and into eternity. Christ is alive. Christ is Lord. He had a word of encouragement for Peter. If you were to look and read through the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ has a word for him because Peter had denied Him. And He said, go and tell Peter. Go and tell Peter that I am alive. What an encouragement. He met Mary Magdalene outside of the tomb. She had a great love for her Lord and Master. He encouraged her. He left a message for His followers inside the tomb with the linen clothes that He left behind. The linen clothes could have gone. He didn't have to leave them, but He left them there, where He had laid. But then something else He had done. He had folded the napkin and put it in another place. The Gospel of John tells us. Again, that tells you He did it. Nobody else would have done that. The soldiers wouldn't have done that. But He did that to show that the Lord had risen indeed. He revealed Himself to other disciples as they traveled. So there were many things that the Lord sent to encourage these cast down believers. What is He sending us this morning? What is He sending to your life? You might look at your life and you think, how miserable, how discouraging this is and that is. But can you not see encouragements that the Lord has given to you? Even this morning, for you to be able to hear the Word of God, the Bible's in your hand, that you are still in the land of the living, that all is not lost, because the Lord Jesus Christ has risen. The Gospel is being preached, and not just here, but throughout the world. The Gospel is being preached. There are many other things that took place on that resurrection morning that marked it as a great and glorious day. For us, 2,000 years removed from the resurrection, the message of it has not changed at all. And it should not be just left to once a year to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this is our hope. This is our joy. We should be remembering it every Lord's Day. Christ is risen. And so we can sing with joy. We are not miserable singers. We should be singing with joy in our hearts. We are singing to the risen Savior. Oh, if you were raised in some other country, in some other religion, what would you have to sing about? I think about it myself. It seems that as I age, I become more emotional, but I think about what we sang about nothing. And we were miserable. We had no hope. And we sang to what? To stones, to fire, to sun, to objects. And we had no hope until Jesus Christ comes and saves. And then he makes us realize he lives. There is hope. There is salvation. There is forgiveness of sins. And it is not just some sort of a vague hope that a Christian has. The Bible speaks about the assured hope. Oh, my friends, if you're trapped in your sin and you see no way of escape, you need to know this. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He's made a way to set sinners like you free. And you need to know this, dear friends. Don't carry on in the life that you are. And if you're a Christian and your life is crumbling over you, remember, Christ is alive. He's ordering everything he has said. Did he die for you to then neglect you in your life? No. He's risen. He's alive. So it's speaking about, that morning was speaking about Jesus Christ. Everything about it was speaking about Jesus Christ and his gospel of salvation. The third thing is this. That resurrection morning makes us realize some important things about ourselves. While the disciples were cowering in the upper room, and we read the latter part of Luke's gospel from verses 36 onwards, when they were filled with fear for their own lives and they had no hope, something miraculous happened in their presence. Jesus, the one who had died just 3 days before, was standing in their midst. How is that possible? Because he has risen indeed. They were terrified. They were amazed. They didn't know what to say. And they thought that they've seen an apparition. They've seen a spirit. They've seen a ghost. However, Jesus had some news to tell them. He showed them the nail holes in his hands and in his feet. And to prove that he was real. He was, what happened to him has marked his body, and he offered to them to touch his body and to put their finger in the holes of his hands and feet and side. He certainly said that to Thomas as he doubted. He sat down with them. He ate with them. And most of the disciples hadn't believed until this morning, it seems. Now they are convinced. Jesus is alive. What a change. You know, you can get up one day in the morning and you could be so depressed. And the Lord can come and change everything. And it says there, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered. That means that it seemed too good to be true. That's what it means. It seems too good to be true. While they yet believed not for joy, they wondered. They were beside themselves with joy and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. You see, they had lost all hope. And so it was an exciting moment for the disciples of our Lord. And this is what needs to happen in the lives of many people living in our world today. Sin has affected everybody. Not just some, not just bad people that you see. But you and I, sin has penetrated deep to the point that the heart is dead. The whole system is poisoned. You're totally depraved, the scripture says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And what can we do? The sinner does all sorts of things to make himself happy and make himself feel good about himself. And yet what should we do? Is to realize that Jesus Christ is more than a baby in a manger or some poor man who became a martyr. He's more than a story in an old book. People need to understand that Jesus Christ is alive. He's real, and that he's the only hope people have of we could say, missing hell and gaining heaven. His resurrection should remind us of the fact that he died for our sins while when? While we were good people? No, while we were yet sinners, the scripture says. And it's about the fact that he was buried. And then 3 days later, he as it were, flung the doors, removed that stone from the tomb forever, and made a way for us to enter into eternal life by our trusting him alone and repenting of our sins. So we should run to him this morning, whatever our condition is. We should be sitting at his feet. We should walk after him. We should run after him. We should hold his hand. We should cling to him. We should trust him every day. Who is Jesus Christ to us? Is he just a story on the page of a book? Is he just someone that we come to hear and we feel good about ourselves? Or is he real? Is he real in your heart? You see, just knowing about Jesus and what he did will not save our souls. The Pharisees knew that. My computer has enough information. It has many Bibles in my computer. The devils know, the scripture says, and they tremble even. They call Jesus Christ the Son of God, the Holy One. And yet they are not saved. The question for us is what the Lord asked his disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" What is your answer? Peter said this answer, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Another question that needs to be asked and answered is the one asked by Pilate in Matthew 27, verse 22. "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" So what is your answer? And it all relates to, do you believe he's real? Do you believe he's alive? Have you trusted in him? Or are you still trusting in your own reasoning and thinking? The Lord doesn't want us to remove all of our reasoning. No, he wants us to think. That's why he stirs you up. But you must bow before Christ. That's what you must do. He's Lord. What should you do? He says you have to count the cost. There is a cost involved. You die to self and you live for him. You take up your cross daily and follow him, the scripture says. Now, finally, so those are very important things to think about. Finally, in those latter verses, verses 44 through to 48. On that resurrection morning, it is spiritually significant for us. As they ate the first resurrection morning, as they were there eating, the Lord Jesus Christ began to tell his disciples that God's plan was to save lost sinners. That's God's plan. They had been called by the Father to be witnesses of that, and they were to spread that news that was good news, that good announcement, which we call the gospel or evangel. And they were to speak to anybody and everybody about it. That there is a great spiritual victory that Jesus Christ has won. That he has arisen from the dead. And he is alive. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead, old enemies, there are many enemies. The old enemies that had plagued mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, since sin entered into the world, there are all these enemies, and they were forever defeated. Do you know what are those enemies? And even do you wonder about it? Are you fearful about it? There are many people filled with fear about death. That's one of the enemies. Death. Imagine the struggle that ensued early that morning as death had to give up. The grave had to give up Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, the scripture says. He had to give the Lord Jesus Christ up. No more would death be able to claim the victory and sting with human race with its bitter curse. Jesus Christ entered into, as it were, death's domain and rendered it helpless. Death had no dominion, no power over him, the scripture says. Now for the true Christian, death is merely a doorway from this land of sorrow to that heavenly land of splendor, where every tear shall be wiped away from every eye, and the saints of God will live forever in the glorious presence of our exalted Lord and Savior. But if you are not a Christian, the only way for you to have hope in death is that Jesus Christ is alive and he must be yours. Another enemy is hell. Hell. When Jesus Christ entered death for mankind, he suffered our hell on the cross. He didn't go to hell, as some would imagine. He suffered hell for us upon the cross. The Father poured his wrath upon him. Why? Because he was condemned in our place, the scripture says. Hell has forever been removed from the child of God. And we could say, actually, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now the Father is no longer the enemy of those who believe. The biggest problem that you and I have is that you must be rescued from the hand of God. That might be a surprising thing for you to hear. But the scripture says that God is angry with the wicked every day. That's what the Bible says. God must punish sin. And God is the one who rescues us from his own justice. How? By sending his own son, Jesus Christ. That's how. And he saves us from the very hell that he has created for Satan and his demons and all those who die in their sins. The reason a person goes to hell, my friends, is not because they rejected Jesus Christ. It is because of their sin. That's why. Because there are many people who have not heard about Jesus Christ. And they end up there. Why? Because of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, another enemy, is the grave, the scripture says to us. Another enemy that died that day was the grave. All his life, man lives in fear of that moment when he will lay down his body in death in the grave. And there are many people who think, well, that's it. That's the end of it. I am just this body, this carcass. When it is laid in the grave, that's me, gone, finished. But my friends, this body is only a tent. It's a tabernacle, the scripture says. It will be brought down one day. It will be put into a tomb, into a grave. And this body, which is sin-ridden, it will perish. But our soul will appear before God. And one day, the scripture says that these bodies, every one of us, young and old, they will rise again one day. Some unto glory, some unto damnation. And our Lord Jesus Christ rose that day and made our salvation secure. Not merely possible, but secure. That those who believe on him and repent of sin surely will be saved. Another enemy was sin. Sin was disarmed. Without Jesus Christ, we are under the power of sin. But by the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, sin has been disarmed. It has no more control over those who believe. Yes, of course, sin was taken care of 3 days before on the cross. but we could think of the resurrection as God's amen on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is what we read. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That is a wonderful verse for us to think about. And finally, another enemy is Satan himself. The enemy of our soul. He is even this morning going about to take away the word from you. To stop you thinking. He will snatch things away from your mind. He will fill your mind with your hunger. He will fill your mind with what you are going to eat for lunch. He will fill your mind with all kinds of distractions. Don't let him do that. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm being distracted already. Lord Jesus, don't let Satan take away this word from my heart. Satan sought to, if we could say, he sought to short circuit Christ's plan to go to the cross. You see, the death of the babies in Bethlehem, the storm on Galilee, the temptation, the oppression in Gethsemane, and so many other things that we read in the scriptures were his attempts to defeat Jesus Christ. However, the Savior endured every temptation. He weathered every storm. And he made it to the cross. His face was set as flint towards Jerusalem, the scripture says. And he, at the end, he cried out, "It is finished." Satan heard the foundations under his kingdom begin to crack. And that morning, when Christ rose from the dead, it was established. The kingdom of Satan was to be destroyed. It starts to unravel. And Satan since then has been losing his members. He's been losing them. And some of you were that. Oh, well, all of us were part of his kingdom once. But some of you, you've been snatched away as brands from burning. You've been saved. And that is a wonderful thing. Why is that? Because Christ has risen indeed. Do you understand this yet, friends? This is why Jesus Christ and his resurrection is important. He was judged instead of us, condemned to die instead of us, was punished instead of us, not by those soldiers, but by his own Father. So that he might defeat every one of our enemies. And to be our Savior and King. And so because Jesus Christ lives now, you and I can be saved by the grace of God. Because he lives, we have our sins washed away forever. Because the Lord Jesus Christ lives now, we can go to heaven where we live there after we die. Because he lives, the grave has no power over your body even. It will rise like unto his glorious body one day. Because the Lord Jesus Christ lives, eternal life is our present possession. Not future possession. It's not something that you will have, but now you possess it. Because he lives, he gives his people his Holy Spirit. And one day too, we will live with him in the heavenly city. So many other things we could say. This list could go on and on forever and ever. My friends, remember, day by day, Christ lives. That's my hope. That is the thing that gives me purpose and helps me through all the battles and all the hopeless things that I see all around me. Because he lives. I'm not living in this world. I'm not going in this world. I'm not trying to settle in this world. I'm traveling, pilgrim, to another world. So in conclusion, in what way has this affected us? In what way has this thinking about that morning spoken to you? Is it affecting you in your daily lives? Do you understand what will happen if you die without Jesus Christ? Do you also understand what happens to you if you die, and when you die, with Jesus Christ? He will be with you. He will come for you and receive you unto himself, the scripture says. Do you realize that there is no other way into heaven than through the Lord Jesus? Oh, what a morning that was when Jesus Christ rose again. But what a day that will be when he will return for his own. My dear friends, let this be the morning when we will humble ourselves in his presence, trust in him, confess our sins to him, and then confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and as our living Savior. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts.